Hallelujah. Let's all stand together. Bless the Lord. What a joy. What a joy it is to be in God's house tonight. Amen. I want us to say thank you for being here. I know it's cold outside, but man, it is warm in here. Amen. So we want us to say welcome to all of you that are here, and we want to say hello to everyone that's watching online from around the country and around the world. We say hello. Live with us is Kenya and South Africa. We say hello to India, Malaysia, the Philippines. We say hello to Singapore, the United Kingdom, Scotland, Finland. We welcome Poland, France, the Netherlands. We say hello to Canada, Mexico, Jamaica, the Cayman Islands, St. Kitts and Nevis, St. Vincent and the Grenadines, French Guiana, Barbados, El Salvador, Trinidad and Tobago, the U.S. Virgin Islands. We say hello to Suriname and Peru, Bolivia and Ecuador, Venezuela, Uruguay and Brazil. And of course, the Dominican Republic and Puerto Rico. We welcome all of those that are watching. Some 29 states are with us, and I've got to give a shout out to a college that is watching from South Dakota. I met some of the students on Sunday, and they said, you better give us a shout out because we'll be watching the next service. So Augustana University from South Dakota, would you welcome all those that are watching? Once in a while, I'll be sitting down there and somebody's speaking, and then I'll smile at Willie, because if you say one thing, he just starts playing whatever you're saying. And there's like a song. You started to play something on Sunday. It was an old Michael W. Smith song. You started playing a song, Thy Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. That's the one. How many have ever heard that song? Thy Word is a lamp. Can we just for a moment sing that to the Lord tonight? If you have a Bible, why don't you just get it in your hand? Anybody who carries still a Bible, would you just raise your hand? Okay, the four of us, come on, let's get ready to lift it. The rest of you lift up your phone, and so you can do that. So come on, sing this with me. Come on, let's do it. Thy word, sing it together. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. That's all there is. Sing that again. Thy word is a lamp. Sing it, church.
Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto.
One more time. Come on, let's sing it loud together. Thy word, thy word.
Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my head.
Father, in these next few moments, I know what you've put on my heart. I've asked you to do this. I've asked you, one, to let it fall on good ground tonight. And I've also asked you, Lord God, that, Father, not a word would fall to the ground. Anything that's of me, then just move it out of the way. Let your words begin to penetrate hearts. And just like we prayed over the students, the interns, let it fall on good ground and produce 30, 60, 100-fold. I believe that, God, you spoke this to me this afternoon. I surrender it to you like that little boy with a lunch, fishes and loaves. Give enough food for the multitudes tonight. In Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Before you sit down, at least shake the hands of two or three people and just give them a big smile and just say, welcome to Times Square Church. I have to tell you why I'm preaching on this tonight. We had our annual board meeting with the Times Square Church board on Sunday night, and then we do our annual elders and officers and board meeting Christmas dinner. We did it last night, and someone said to me, they said, Pastor Tim, you've had such a long week that you need, is there anybody else that could step in and preach? I said, no. I said, I think God's given me the word, and I'm about 80% there, and so this morning, it just came to me, and I just felt like this is great. And then right around 9:30, 10 o'clock, I felt the Holy Spirit say, put that to the side, shelf that, put that to the side. I'm going to tell you what to say tonight. And so just when I thought I had it all together, God messed everything up. But I do know that God spoke to me today. I'm sure of it. that God brought me to Psalm 32 and began to speak to my heart, and I just began to write down. And I was so sure of it when I got to this last part that I'm going to share with you from Mark chapter 5. I knew that God began to speak to me. I want to talk to you about being stubborn as a mule or sensitive as a servant. Stubborn as a mule or sensitive as a servant. When you become a Christian, you get these two things. You get peace and you get war. When you become a believer, you can expect those two things in that order. The Bible says you get peace with God when you are born again. Listen to it. But now in Christ Jesus, you who were formerly far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who made both groups into one and broke down the barrier of the dividing wall. It's one of the greatest things that I'm able to tell people that don't know Christ. I'm able to say to them, when you find Christ, everything can be happening around, but you will have peace inside. You will have a peace of mind, a peace of heart, that your life is secure. But you also not only get peace, but you also get war. War with the devil. This is what Ephesians 6 says. Put on the full armor of God so that you will be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against rulers, against powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the full armor of God so that you may be able to resist in the evil day, and having done everything, stand firm. When you become a Christian, your enemy becomes defined and your path forward becomes clear through the word of God. Let me say that again. When you become a Christian, your enemy becomes defined and your path forward by understanding the word of God becomes clearer and clearer. Before you are saved, you really don't know who or what you are fighting until you become a Christian. But if you receive the peace of God but don't accept the armor of God, you will become a casualty of war. If you receive the, I want to be saved, but are not putting on the armor of God every single day from Ephesians 6, it's easy to become a casualty. You only can advance with armor on in this spiritual warfare that we face. It's peace and there's war. It's a fight to move forward. And you're going to see it in, as I'm reading Psalm 32, there is a challenge on how to move forward, but it's a fight. It's the, we have the peace, but there's a war. It's an internal battle that's happening in Psalm 32. He knows the way to go forward, but there is going to be a fight against it. Listen to these words that God began just to speak to my heart today. Verse 8, I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you with my eye, don't miss this part, with my eye upon you. Just look at those words again. I will instruct you and teach you in the way in which you should go. This is the forward movement. This is what God is speaking to all of us on how do we move forward. And he said, and I will counsel you with my eye upon you. Then he says this in verse 9, based on that, do not be as the horse or as the mule, which have no understanding, whose trappings include bit and bridle to hold them in check. Otherwise, they will not come near to you. It's a warning. It's a fight. It's a war. God's going, I will instruct you on where you should go, but there will always be this mule inside that will buck against going forward, of going against what God is wanting to do. Those words, should go, that David says, the psalmist says, when he says these words, he says, I'll teach you and instruct you in the way you should go, is what stands out to me. Should go means that God will direct you, but God will not make you go forward. God will present to you what's ahead. God will show you what he is expecting, but will not make you go. Just because he gives the direction does not mean the people are always obeying. He will always tell you the way you should go, not must go. He says you should go this way. You know, I was reading that one phrase there when he says, and I will counsel you with my eye upon you. It's such a powerful phrase. I have to just pause here for a second. I was reading Charles Spurgeon's Treasury of David that speaks to that phrase, I will counsel you with my eye upon you. That was in verse 8. And this is what he says. He says, the banquet host is at the table and the servants are against the wall. He doesn't yell. Spurgeon goes, it's just a look from the host of the servant. He says, I'll guide thee with mine eye. As servants take their cue from the master's eye, and a nod and a wink is all they require, so should we obey the slightest hints of our master, not needing thunderbolts to startle our incorrigible sluggishness, but being controlled by whispers and touches of love. Do you understand what Spurgeon was saying? He says, in that culture and in that time, he said, when the host was at the table, the master was at the table, all he needed to do was a slight movement of a head, maybe just to call them that a cup needed to be filled up. And it was just simply a head that would just move over. That was all that was needed. No one yelled water. No one yelled, fill the cup up with water. No one yelled anything. It was just simply the master giving the slightest look to begin to move the servant's heart. And I said, God, don't let me miss when you're speaking. Don't let me miss when you're guiding us. I'll guide you with my eye. It's guidance from the slightest movement of God. This guidance that doesn't need loud thunderbolts. He just needs to be looking in my direction. When Jonathan Edwards was leading that first great awakening in America that started not too far from here, Edwards said these words. He says, the task of every generation is to discover in which direction the sovereign Redeemer is moving, then move in that direction, to find out what God is doing. It's looking at the master, watching his movements. A paraphrase of this passage in the Passion Translation speaks it like this. He said, I hear the Lord saying, I will stay close to you, instructing and guiding you along the pathway of your life. I will advise you along the way and lead you forth with my eyes as your guide. So don't make it difficult. Don't be stubborn when I take you where you've never been before. Don't make me tug you and pull you along. And then he cries out, just come with me. Just go where God is leading us. See, when you don't respond to the tug, when you don't respond to the master's movement, when you don't respond to a voice, when you don't respond to when God is speaking, God will get our attention another way. And here's the verse that I want to share with you. This is the other part. You need to get this verse down. I want you to take a picture of this. This is so sobering. And this is what it says in the book of Proverbs. Listen to Proverbs 20, verse 30. Sometimes it takes a painful experience to make us change our ways. Look at that again. Some of you should be groaning at this point. How many know it did take a painful experience? Okay, why don't you guys listen to God? Everyone, listen to it. Sometimes it takes a painful experience to make us change our ways. From when with those that will not listen, those that will not respond to the master's movement, the master's wink, the master's speaking, whisper. God goes, I'll get your attention, because God's committed to your growth. God's committed to your future. This is what happens when the master's ignored. What is it that, God, you're trying to get at me? What are you evaluating now, God? What priorities have I let go down the list that you're trying to push back up in maybe my finances, serving, marriage, parenting, calling, whatever that may look like? God will get you where you need to be. But get this, folks. How you get there, that's up to you. God will get us. I would rather listen than be brought into the painful circumstance. I want to change based on God's voice, not on a painful experience. I want God to be able to hear, that I want to be able to hear God's whisper and listen and act and obey instead of waiting until my back is against the wall. I keep asking myself, God, am I guided with your eye or am I compelled by pain? I kept asking that. Which one is it? When is it that I'll finally listen? When is it that I'll finally go? I've watched over the years, and I'll share my story in just a second, but I watched two groups that will get stubborn, two groups of people that will get stubborn. I wrote this morning at 9:30. Two groups that get stubborn, that will not follow the master's just his slightest movement, that they will surrender to a painful circumstance. The first group of people, please don't be angry with me. I'm just telling you what I feel in my heart. The first group are single people that will not wait for God's timing. I'm just telling you. And what they'll do is they will jump into a relationship that will bring pain. And if you just wait, the woo-hoo is helping me. So what's happening is that if you just waited, and what happens is we get ahead, and now it's going to take a painful experience to change you to go, I'm not doing that again. I'm not going through that again. And just wait on God. That people will blow, I've watched it. They will blow by those verses that guide, that the subtle guidance of God with a simple verse that says, do not be unequally yoked. But if I bring them to church, it'll all change. Not necessarily. And can I just help you? Rings on a finger don't change anybody either. All right, I better stop there. There's a lot going on in here that I didn't expect that much. There's a second group of people. There's that I'm just saying that I've watched miss or ignore the master's look, and it's those that want to be called into ministry. I've watched people, instead of waiting for God to open up a door, instead of letting God work inside of them, that what they have done is they've run into places that have caused pain and have caused in them, they've caused even heartache, that they've ran into situations. Instead of staying put and letting God lead them, they have let an opportunity or even a ministry that they found online needs a whatever there, music, pastor, youth pastor, and they've run to it. Instead of being guided by God, they've been guided by an opportunity, an open position. And it's so damn, and I've watched the hurt, and the reason why those two is I've watched the hurt come when we have not guided by God, when we have pushed, and all of a sudden, now you have to have a painful experience begin to change us and go, God, please help me on this. I've watched this. Before I left Detroit, God asked me to do something. He was guiding me. It was just a whisper. God was guiding me. He was asking for my life for another season of prayer. I don't compromise or negotiate with my mornings. I just don't. I've had people, those are my mornings that God has given me something when I was back at 19 years old that I will not compromise. I've had people go, can you meet me this early? There was one guy that was relentless. He was a businessman. He goes, can you meet me at 7 in the morning? Can you meet me at 6:30? And he kept getting lower and lower. I said, I can't. I have an appointment. And he goes, how about 6 a.m.? I said, I have an appointment. How about 5:30? I said, I have an appointment. He goes, who are you meeting with? I said, God. I meet with God every single morning. And this is what I told him. I said, you want me to keep that meeting. Because if I don't keep that meeting, you won't want to meet with me. You need me in that meeting. And that's what I told him. But God was asking for another season from me. Back in Detroit, God was speaking to me, which would be almost 15 years ago. He was saying to me, I'm asking for a night season. I'm asking you, and this is what God was asking me to do. I'm asking you to be a day and night man. And he brought me to Psalm 1. Let me read it to you. How blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the path of sinners. Nor in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law, he meditates, what does it say? Day and night. And what happens to that day and night man? Here it comes, folks, listen to it. He'll be like a tree firmly planted by streams of water, yield fruit in its season. His leaf will not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. That's what becomes of a day and night man. And I have to tell you, to this day, I've not been consistent in what God is asking me to do. There are seasons that God is, even now, he is saying to me, he's whispering, he says, I'm asking for day and night. Why? because the day and night man will be planted, he'll be producing, and he'll be prospering. He says he'll be planted by streams of water. There's a stream that keeps coming in. There's a producing, that fruit, that this leaf doesn't wither, and that there will be a prosper. Whatever he touches, the hand of God is upon it. And I feel stronger than ever with what God is getting ready to do. God reminding me, this is what I've asked you to do. This is what I've asked you to do. I've asked you to be a day and night man. I've asked you to not only begin every morning, but to end every night with my in my presence. Cindy and I do have a time that we pray every single night together. We have a whole list that we pray. And I felt like God was just speaking to me, saying, there may be a little more that I'm asking of you. I'm grateful for those nights that when my wife and I get to pray together. It's part of being a day and night man. I don't know about you, but I want to be planted for God. How many are here going, I want to be connected to a stream of water from heaven? I want the hand of God upon me. Because when God speaks, we respond. It's like when David said these words. Listen to Psalm 27. He says, when you said, seek my face, my heart said, your face, O Lord, I shall seek. There was no negotiations. There was no discussions. There was no delay. There was no pause. God said, seek my face. David goes, your face, O Lord, I shall seek. I want it to be that quick. I want God to whisper, and that's that quick that it'll happen. That's what I'm looking for. Now, here's where I know God spoke. This is where God began just to open this up. I want you to get this. Think of that phrase. Think of what God has asked us. Stubborn as a mule or sensitive as a servant. Stubborn as a mule or sensitive as a servant. The stubborn as a mule is that we will not move. We'll stay firm in what we're doing, our agenda, our way, our thing that we're doing. No movement. But the servant will hear, will feel the simplest touch. Do this, say this, be quiet. All whatever that would be, that's what I want to do. What area can you honestly say? Don't just look. You don't have to say you are. Think of, I was thinking of this for me. What areas do I have mule tendencies that I'm constantly fighting, that I'm not easily led? I don't like waiting. I don't like, I'm used to making things happen. And here's the part I want to say. This is the part that I felt strongly by God. And then it's gonna take me just a few minutes, and then we're gonna close here in just a few moments. But I feel so strongly about this. A stubborn spirit is an unclean spirit. A stubborn spirit is an unclean spirit. In Mark 5, legion, a demon. I'm not saying you're demon possessed. Listen, if you're demon possessed, we're all in trouble here. How many are stubborn? Would you raise your hand? Okay, then we're in trouble. It's not, but I'm gonna tell you the tendencies of this. In Mark 5, okay, put your hand, everyone's going, put your hands down. Because I want you to hear this. In Mark 5, legion, this demonic man in the graveyard has an unclean spirit and finally names it legion. Remember, when Jesus commanded the unclean spirit to leave, I was amazed at what I saw. I was amazed. Here it is. Don't miss this. I was amazed at the stubbornness of this unclean spirit. This unclean spirit was stubborn. Jesus says in verse 8, come out of the man. Mark 5, 8. You can read it for yourself. And then instead of coming out, it introduces itself. My name is Legion. And then all of a sudden, Jesus is saying to come out. And then all of a sudden in verse 10, it says, don't send us out of the country. Like, it's not even listening to Jesus. Jesus is speaking, the Son of God. And finally, it says this in its stubbornness. Verse 12, send us into the swine. Talk about a stubborn spirit. This unclean spirit is telling the Son of God, don't send us out. Send us over here. Do this. We're not coming out. Jesus is going, come out. My name is Legion. The stubbornness would not come out of him. An unclean spirit wants its own way. It's a dangerous thing. Listen to these words. Listen to this. Satan and all unclean spirits are stubborn spirits. They won't depart simply because that a verdict has been pronounced against them. Their exit must be enforced, and it is power that brings that enforcement. Because the demonic spirit, this unclean spirit, just won't move. It's just going, it doesn't matter what you say. It could be as simple as an altar call. I'm not going to any altar. I can let God move right in this seat. That's why you need to go to the altar. You should be first. I want you to see this. When that unclean spirit was gone, I want you to look at this man's heart when Jesus asks him to do something. Remember, this man, I'm gonna ask Willie and the band to come. I'm really done. Some of you are going like, I'm shocked. Okay. Now listen, I'm not stubborn. Without the unclean spirit, I want you to see this man's heart when Jesus asks him to do something. Here it is, Mark 5:17. And they, this is the people of the Gadarenes, the people of the Gerasenes, and they began to implore him, Jesus, to leave their region. I want you to keep that in mind. They ask Jesus, once they see this man clothed in his right mind, they go, we don't want any part of you. Get out. That's what the people say. We need you to leave. They implored Jesus to leave. As he was getting into the boat, the man who had been demon possessed was imploring him that he might accompany him. I want you to see what happens. And Jesus did not let him, but he said to him, go home to your people. Report to them what great things the Lord has done for you and how he had mercy on you. Listen to this. And he went away and began to proclaim in Decapolis what great things Jesus had done for him. And everyone was, did you see what happened? When God cleansed him, he just goes, whatever you say, Master, whatever you say. It was just like, I want to come with you. And Jesus, I could just see Jesus like that master in Psalm 32 goes, no, go over there. Decapolis, 10 cities. I want you over there. I want you to go over there. No, there wasn't a beg. Well, I want to come with you. Why can't I come? Folks, think about this. Why wouldn't you let him come? What a testimony. Every time Jesus speaks, before I speak, tell him your story. No. He said, I don't need you. I need you to go to Decapolis. I need you to go tell everybody what has happened. The greatest mistake any Christian can make is to substitute his own will for the will of God. The greatest mistake we can think is, and this man thought, if I can just get on a boat with Jesus, it's all gonna work. Now, folks, here's the part I want you to get. The demon implores Jesus not to send them out of the country. In verse 10, request granted. Now the delivered graveyard man implores Jesus, can I travel with you? His request is denied, but the stubbornness is gone. It's gone. No fight with the delivered man. No fight with the clean man. No fight. But here's the rest of the story. Jesus, who up to now is telling, it's interesting. Jesus up to now is telling everyone, follow me, is telling this guy, don't follow me, go that way. Now he's telling, go tell your story. Go tell your story to your own city. And here's the rest of the story. It seemed that this ex-demoniac cemetery resident did exactly what Jesus said. Jesus returns to the same place one chapter later. He gets in the boat and he goes. And remember, he leaves the delivered man to Decapolis, to the Gadarenes. He goes, you do what I've asked you to do. What's happening here? When you listen to him, can I just tell you this? He knows better than all of us. He knows better than all of us. Instead of this stubborn thing, I'm going on that boat ride with Jesus. I'm riding with, no, go that way. Go that way. Jesus takes the boat back across the lake to the place where the cemetery was, to the place where all of this took, where all of this happened. Let me read to you what happens. They beached the boat at Gennesaret and tied up the landing. And as soon as they got out of the boat, word got around fast. People ran this way and that, bringing their sick on stretchers to where they heard he was. Wherever he went, village or town, country crossroads, they brought their sick to the marketplace, begged him to let them touch the edge of his coat. That's all. And whoever touched him became well. The same city that asked him to leave could not get enough of power of Jesus when he showed up. But folks, the crowds this time, instead of saying leave, they came. The first time Jesus went over to the other side, nobody wanted him to be there. The second time he comes, it was the most dramatic response in all the New Testament cities. People were more receptive to Jesus here than any other place he has gone, because a demoniac who was delivered from an unclean spirit wasn't stubborn enough to say, I'm going on that boat. I'm doing what I want to do. God goes, your whole city's going to change now because you've listened to me. The whole city changes. Everything changes. Folks, listen to me. This is huge. This spirit that just wants to just dig in, let God do something. If this man would have got on that boat with Jesus, a whole city would have missed the power of God, the healing of God, and the presence of Jesus. Let him do it. I don't know why God has asked me to do this tonight, but all I know is, thank God, this man listened to Jesus, did not fight for his own way and his own agenda, and didn't buy a ticket to get on Jesus's boat, but said, I will do what you've asked me to do. I'm telling you, this is what I want God to do in my own heart. Cleanse my heart. Get out any unclean thing that is so stubborn to you. I don't want anything that has to do with a mule. I want to be a sensitive servant of God. I want to do what he has asked me to do. Stand to your feet with me, please. That's all. I don't want to be stubborn. I'm going to stop right here, because I knew what God has said. Such a great song. I speak to everyone here, starting with me. I want that stubbornness that wants it my way. I want to do it this way. I want that out of me. Listen one more time, just as the psalmist begins to speak to us from this passage. Just listen to the words again. I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I'll counsel you with my eye upon you. Do not be as the horse and the mule, which have no understanding, whose trappings include bit and bridle to hold them in check. Otherwise, they will not come near you. I just want to listen to what he says. And this stubbornness that says, nope, I am going to do this. I'm going to go here. I'm going to do it my way. And folks, I'm telling you, there's an uncleanness to that. There's an uncleanness to that. Remember what I was thinking about this today. I didn't even write it down, but it's in 1 Samuel chapter 15. When all of a sudden Saul rebelled, and he speaks about, I think it's in 13, when Saul is chastised and said, you've acted foolishly. And all of a sudden, he tells him those devastating words. He says, rebellion is as the sin, what does he say? Of witchcraft. And then he brings in and tells him, and he says, and even stubbornness he speaks to. The danger of that, as he begins to speak those words. I can't remember exactly where it is. It's in 1 Samuel chapter 13, I believe. I wasn't prepared for this. I forced myself. I'm going to tell you, I know it's here. 1 Samuel, Psalm for one. Which verse? 23. Look at that. Thank God for a Bible church. And this is what he says. It says it somewhere here. 1 Samuel 3, okay. 1523, praise the Lord for a pastor who needs real help right now. Should have kept my mouth shut. For rebellion is as a sin of witchcraft, and insubordination or stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. There's a danger to stubbornness. Oh, there it is. Look at that. And we've got a godly production team. Thank you for our godly production team. But if you put up the King James production team, can you do that? Can you put up the King James? I don't know why I'm even going through all this. Rebellion is a sin and stubbornness. Wow, it took me so long to get to this point. And stubbornness as iniquity and idolatry because you've rejected the word of the Lord. That's what it is. He talks about that stubbornness, that mule spirit that just won't listen because we reject what God is speaking to us. We reject when God speaks to us. I want us all to listen. When God winks, when God goes, this is what I want you to do. It could be as simple as, I want you to give to that homeless man on the street. I want you to give to that man on the subway. I want you to do this for that individual. And just, it's just kind of a wink and just kind of, it's listening to him. It's not a fight. If you're here today, starting with me, and you're going, Pastor Tim, I need God to create in me a clean heart tonight. A clean heart. That's what Willie is playing. That's what he's famous for. I say a word, clean heart, and he plays a clean heart song. And here's the part I want you to get. God, cleanse me. I want to be post-graveyard. Anna was singing, dancing on the grave that I once lived in. When that gentleman said, what? I can't come with you? No problem. What do you want me to do? Go tell your people. Okay, it'll be prepared. One chapter. Everybody's getting healed in this city. Because he listened. Listen to the Holy Spirit. Not your emotion. Not your agenda. Listen to him. How many are here today say, I just need a clean heart today. I need him just to come. I believe that. I want us to sing. Can we sing this? Can we sing this song? As we sing this, I want us to surrender our hearts. I'm going to ask you to do this. Some of you are already going, like, I'm not going to the altar. I'm inviting you to the altar, especially those that don't want to come to the altar. That's what we're doing tonight. I'm inviting you to get out of your seat and go, especially those that have had a hard time, get out of those seats right now. Don't even play around. Just go, I'm coming. I need a clean heart. Come on, let's sing it tonight. I should be right down there with you. We got a lot of stubborn people in this church. You know what? Sometimes that New York spirit can get on us and that New York. Listen, if I didn't have to close this out, I'd be right down there with you because that's why God was dealing with me. You know what I was asking him? Cleanse my heart. Because here's what I don't want to do. How many felt the pain of this verse? Here it is. Sometimes it takes a painful experience to make us change our ways. How many said ouch at that verse? That's me. I'm going, God, I don't want to live that way. I want to hear what the Holy Spirit's saying. Every morning you wake up, I want you to speak like that servant with his back against the wall and say, All you have to do is wink and I'll be there. All you have to do is speak. If it's give, apologize. If it is pray more, if it is to witness, if it is to whatever it may be, let God speak tonight. Let his Holy Spirit speak to us. If he says, don't call, don't text, don't email, don't, here it is, look at me. Don't watch this. Don't look at this any longer. It's not healthy for your soul. I want him to create in me a clean heart tonight. I want him. I don't want any unclean thing inside of me. And can I tell you, let me just verify this. I am not saying that when that stubborn mule spirit comes, that everybody's demon possessed. I am not saying that. So don't leave this church tonight going like, Pastor Tim said I have a demon. Okay, listen to me tonight. Listen to me tonight. But I'm telling you, that stuff comes from the root of hell. Stubbornness comes from the root of hell. That's the characteristic of Satan and those demonic forces. I'm not leaving. Don't send me out of the country. Send me into the pig. I'm not going. And constantly, everything's a fight. This is where God goes, no. I'm going to soften your heart. I'm going to soften your heart. I want to bring a cleanness. I want that. Can we just lift our hands and just say, God, cleanse my heart tonight. Any unclean thing, get it out, oh God. Oh God, I pray that, Lord, any tendencies of that mule that would try to buck against the word of God, the whispers of the Holy Spirit, break it right now in Jesus' name. Break it right now in Jesus' name. And Father, I pray that you're gonna raise up sensitive servants. Our hands are lifted up that are saying, God, make us sensitive. Start with us up here. I pray every person that sings and plays, make us sensitive to the Holy Spirit. Let us be sensitive to what God is gonna speak. Start with me. God, I don't wanna be stubborn going, this is the way the service has to go. But I wanna listen to the Holy Ghost. So Father, start with us tonight. Start with me tonight. And God, I'm praying right now that you will not have to use a painful experience to get me to change. But God, I will hear your voice. I'll walk in your will. I'll do what God has asked me to do. I'll not pretend that my will is your will. I will obey your will tonight, oh God. Father, I know what you've spoken to my heart, and I know what you're doing inside of me. Would you bring us along together as a church? As a church, oh God. That we would be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. Give us clean hearts tonight. Clean hearts tonight. I'm gonna ask you to do something, church, that we normally don't ask, but would you do this? I know if you would just put a hand on someone's shoulder next to you and just say, I wanna just pray. Pray for them, that God would give them a clean spirit tonight. Come on, put a hand on her shoulder right around you and just say, God, give them a clean spirit tonight, all over this place. Pray out loud for them. Just say, you don't have to know their name. God, give us a clean spirit. From our eyes to our mind to how we see things. Cleanse us, oh God. Cleanse us, oh God. Just pray for that. Pray a clean spirit. No stubbornness. No stubbornness, oh God, but a sensitivity to the Holy Spirit. Whatever he says, we will obey. We will obey. Forgive us of our impatience. Forgive me of my impatience. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Okay, do me a favor right now. I'm not here to embarrass you. I'm not saying even you're, this is the area. I want every single person to lift their hands up right now. Don't look who's single, just lift your hands up right now. God, I'm gonna pray for every single person right now in this place. And I'm gonna pray, God, that they're gonna have a patience to wait. Remove stubbornness that says I'm gonna make something happen. Remove that, God. Give them a patient spirit to say, I will wait on God. God, I pray any unholy alliance, break it right now in Jesus' name. Father, the fear that are in some of them that won't break it because they're afraid of loneliness. They're afraid of being alone. Break it. If it's not right, if it's unequally yoked, break it now in Jesus' name. Break it now. I know I'm speaking the Holy Spirit is speaking now. There are some that are afraid to break an unholy alliance because you're afraid. You're more afraid of loneliness than the stubbornness. And right now, in Jesus' name, break it, break it, break it right now, Lord God. Father, I pray you're gonna raise up clean single people, clean in spirit. Stubbornness is gone, and the sensitivity of a servant comes upon them. Oh God, would you begin to do that right now? Do that right now. That Father, there is a work to be done. If you say don't get on that boat to an ex-demon possessed man, we won't go where you don't want us. If you say don't go here, don't do this, we will listen. We don't know what city, what apartment building, what dormitory, what classroom, what business, what cubicle, what city block can be changed. Make us open to the Holy Spirit today. Single people, put your hands down. How many have a call to the ministry? Would you lift your hands now? People that are called to the ministry, keep your hands up. Father, I'm praying patience over them right now. Let them not run to an opening. Let them not run to an opportunity, but you guide them by your Holy Spirit. You guide them. And Father, they're gonna be challenged. There's gonna be opportunities. They're gonna come across something. They're looking for this person or this person or this. God, let them be led by the Holy Ghost. Let them be led by the Holy Ghost. Not an opportunity, not a state, not because it's warm there, not because this will help, this will be awesome, but God, not because they want to get out of New York, but because it's the Holy Ghost. God, break stubbornness in me. Break it in all of us. We are praying for that clean spirit right now in Jesus' name. Now, folks, look at me. How many know I love you? I'm not here. I'm with you. I'm preaching. I wish I wasn't preaching tonight because I need to be down there. I want to rescue our futures. God is bringing us somewhere. And I don't want to get on a boat when God's going, go back to the city. I don't want to be on a plane when God says, be in your apartment. I want to be exactly, how many are with me? I want to be exactly where God wants me to be. So let's ask him. Can we sing this one more? Let's be strong. Let's all the instruments, everybody, sing it like this is the last time you're ever going to sing it in your life. Take your bony finger and point to someone next to you and say, don't be stubborn. And point to the other person and say, be a sensitive servant. I love you. God is with you. God is gonna use you. I wanna bless you tonight before you leave this place. Father, may the hand of God guide every person. I pray you protect them with angels. Father, whether you're getting in a cab, whether they're getting in a cab or a subway, whether they're getting in their car, I pray surround them with your angels. Speak to them all the way home. Guide them with your eye. Counsel them with your eye. That Father, you will instruct us the way we should go. Make them sensitive servants. May tomorrow be an amazing day. Whatever they're gonna face, equip them for whatever's ahead. Let them know God is with them in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen and amen. Go in God. Give someone a handshake, a hug, a high five. Say, I love you in Jesus' name. God bless you.